Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Friday Chapel. We're here to lower your stress. Take a deep breath and enjoy these moments. So my name is Carmen Schrockhurst. I teach in Bible and Religion Department, and one of the things that I am pleased to do is also direct the Ministry Inquiry Program, which in EMU, we love acronyms, lingo is MIP for short. So this morning, I want to start by naming two things that I think are truths, and then at the end of the chapel, I'm going to name two things that are lies about MIP program. First of all, two truths. I think it's true that most of us here in this room would acknowledge that churches in the United States need to create new ways to respond to our current culture and its challenges with a faith that has integrity. I think that's true. Number two, I think it's true that most of you learn better by doing rather than by reading or talking about how to do. So MIP is a program that brings both of those truths together. In MIP, you have a chance to bring your passion for the church, your dreams for the future of the church, into a real ministry setting where you begin to flesh out some of the ways that you dream church could be. And in MIP, you learn by doing, not by just talking about, but you're working with real people in a real congregation. The Ministry Inquiry Program is a way to test your gifts and interests and possibly to discern a call to a future working within a church. You are a pastoral intern for 11 weeks, and you have, believe it or not, the chance to also earn $2,000 towards your fall tuition. So it's a win-win situation. And if you need academic credit, you can earn 3 academic credits, though Fred says you have to pay for those. Today, we're going to have the privilege of hearing from 2 students who participated in MIP this past summer, and in January, we will hear from 2 additional students, Caleb Schrockhurst and Liz Whitmer. Today, these students are going to share with you by talking about their summer, but also by demonstrating one of the skills that they practiced this summer. Hannah Schultz is a music education major from Harrisonburg, and she served this summer with Manantial de Vida, which means rivers of living water. Manantial de Vida is a Mennonite congregation also here in Harrisonburg, and one of the many, many things Hannah did was to choreograph, lead, teach, dance, as you have seen her do many times here. So today, she and the Alpha and Omega dance troupe, as well as the gospel choir, will lead us in worship, and thanks to both of your groups for doing this. Following Hannah, we will hear from Senior Perry Blosser. Perry is a music and interdisciplinary studies major with a concentration in Bible and religion. He's also from Harrisonburg, and he served this summer with Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville. And one of the many things that Perry did was to lead congregational singing and to actually create and lead a joint congregational choir. So after his sharing, Perry will lead us in a song, and then I'm going to come back and share the two lies about MIP. Hannah and Perry.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. This is the beauty of church. We need each other to survive. Church is the beauty of Jesus and God manifested on earth. Sometimes we struggle with that, but church is good. And I've seen a clear picture of that this summer. So this is Manantial de Vida, my beautiful church that I was at this summer. And before I get into what I did and how awesome God is, I'd like to talk about how I arrived to the decision to go to MIP. So I was in Florida with my family during winter break last year, and MIP was on my mind because I had had friends do it in the past. And there were MIP pamphlets that just kind of kept being there, right in my eyes. You know, a pamphlet even made it the whole way to Florida with me. I don't know how, but I think God had something to do with it. But I gave God two arguments of why I thought that MIP, that I, yeah, shouldn't, why I was like, why me for MIP? First one was, I'm pretty sure that I will not be a preacher. My gifts are not in that realm. The second one is, I know what happens kind of behind the scenes in church because of living in Peru and being a missionary kid. We were the first to arrive, last to go many times. So I was like, Lord, why experience this again? And I felt a still small voice say, Hannah, do you trust me? That was it. He didn't tell me what would happen or what it would be like. It was, do you trust me? And it still took a little bit, but yes, I decided to go for it. So I'm going to call Manantial de Vida MDV. So we're going to go with the acronyms again. This congregation is true to their name, Manantial de Vida, Fountain of Life. There is so much life and praise in this church. As you can tell, there are so many people up front, and the kids dance every morning. They do choreography together for all of the worship songs, and it's an hour of worship. These kids blow my mind because it is hot and sweaty up there, but they do it because they know what it means to praise the Lord. So it's a Mennonite congregation, but don't let the stereotype of that fool you, because the worship is loud and powerful. We speak in tongues, or what they would say is the heavenly language, and there's prophecy spoken as the Spirit directs. The service length can fluctuate by an hour, but generally it goes from 1 to 4, because they share the building with Ridgeway Mennonite Church. Manantial de Vida is a church here in Harrisonburg. There are about 50 kids, 50 children, and roughly 150 members. Nearly half of the congregation are first-generation Christians. I'm just going to let that sink. Come see how this influences their worship, because it blew my mind, and it was enough to make me crave Jesus more in my life. Yeah. Some of you, after hearing this description, would quickly conclude that your style of worship would not jive with MDV's. The fluctuating time frame, crazy worship style, and gifts of the Holy Spirit portrayed in these ways is not for everyone. But praise the Lord that there's diversity in the church body. Can I get an amen? For me, this church was exactly what I needed. It was the answer to years of prayers, and the Hispanic culture and worship style was refreshing because it reminded me of the church that my home congregation in Cusco, Peru. Dancing for Christ with everyone gave me the freedom to worship God as I do best with my whole self. I love watching children worship, so having them up front praising God pushed me into greater connection with God as we'd laugh together at the beautiful sight. I felt an indescribable love for these kids that must be from the divine. And they loved me back with such energy. Yeah, there's a picture in the slideshow that was running at the beginning, and that will run at the end. That'll just show you the incredible love and energy these kids have. Etched in my memory will always be a moment in worship. One of the first days that I was there where I opened my eyes, and right in front of me was little girl Lisa. She's about 3 or 4 years old. And she was staring back at me and doing everything that I was doing. Just so beautiful. She captured my heart so swiftly in that moment. An equally beautiful sight was youth going crazy for Jesus, and their fathers freely worshiping God by kneeling, dancing, or praying with such power and authority from the Holy Spirit. While I was at MDV, I spent most of my time with the kids and the youth. So now I'll get to the part, things that I was doing. So this entailed attending many birthday parties and planning activities for the Sunday school classes. Hats off to the creative souls who cut out fish, paste googly eyes, bake bread, and color for hours in preparation for Sunday school every Sunday. It's incredible. I also built relationships with the youth and was blown away by the topics they discuss in youth group. One youth, I'll call him Miguel, lives with parents who are not Christian. He doesn't have a car or bike, so he walks. He said it was a little over an hour to church, and then someone will take him home. In one of our discussions in youth group, we were talking about respect, and he said, "Am I not respecting my parents if I go to church and they tell me not to?" This question and some of the other real life questions are just really hard to hear. Blew me away that this is the conversation that we're having. But it was really good. It was really good to see them wrestling with these things. Here's our youth group. Caricia is an 18-year-old, time flies. Caricia here is in the white closest to us. She is an 18-year-old prophetess and goes to HHS, and it is incredible just to hear the dreams that God has given her for how he's going to move in that school. And, I could just go through this list of youth, all these youth, and there's just... It's just so incredible to see how God's moving there. Okay, I'm going to have to jump to the end. So at the beginning I said that God answered many prayer requests, many years of prayer requests through this experience. And some of my questions, some of my prayers were, where is prophecy in the church? Where are people willing to make hard sacrifices for the sake of your name, Jesus? Why are so many youth leaving the church? And God blew me away. Where's prophecy in the church? We experience prophecy. I had words of prophecy poured into my life. Not only that, the whole congregation was invited to attend a teaching on where we practice listening to God and for other people to give them words. And it was incredible. And the second question, hard sacrifices for the sake of Jesus, just to see them give up sleep and food, fasting, and their time was inspirational to me, beyond words. And I cannot continue more because my time is up, but ask me questions afterwards about the last question. And I'd like to close with two journal entries from the summer. God delights in giving us more of him, his gifts, his blessings, his presence, his spirit. But he waits to lavish this goodness till we are ready to receive it. God looks for us to ask for more of him. And the other one is, sacrifices of sleep, food, and time demonstrate how much we are willing to give up for the sake of obeying Christ. God doesn't need our sacrifices. We do. We need to see them in order to see how much Jesus means to us. Thank you.
I was actually not too sure why I applied for MIP. I wasn't very certain. I wasn't necessarily responding to a clear, audible call that you should do this summer. In fact, I was like really concerned in my interviews with Carmen and with my church that like, I don't know, like I just wanted to do it because I wanted to learn and because maybe that was, I don't know, I wanted to learn. I was at Salford Mennonite Church in Harleysville, Pennsylvania. It was in somewhat of a rural kind of greater suburbs of Philadelphia. So there's kind of a space to it, right? People were spread out, but I realized that there was also a space in which to meet people that I really had never experienced before. At Salford, there was somewhere between 200 and 300 people on a given Sunday. I had my own little 8x10 office right beside Beth. She was the associate pastor, and Maria, she was the children's and youth pastor. And Brad was also nearby. Brad was the administrator, the real saint. And Joe, Pastor Joe, is down the hallway. He was my supervisor. Our workspaces were right off of the sanctuary, which had mahogany carpet and an old maroon carpet and an old mahogany grand piano. That would be weird. The grand piano also became somewhat of a workspace for me in the mornings. My first few days at Salford Church were spent absorbing history, processes, how-tos, and I began gathering an understanding of the foundation that Salford was built on 300 years ago and where they are today. Actually, my first task was learning to properly operate Microsoft Outlook with my email and schedule that seemed to be full when I got there. I did other things. I led singing 7 times at 2 churches and at a retirement home. I was involved in worship planning, assembled a choir between 2 churches of 21 people, and we sang a couple songs. I did home visits. I led music at Salford's Peace Camp, which those kids knew how to sing. They just strummed my guitar. There were 80 of them, little kids. I worked to coordinate an interfaith hospitality network. I preached one sermon, had a lot of coffee, and a lot of dinners. These leadership experiences and others helped teach me something about leading that I'll never, that I'll always remember. Leadership, perhaps whether sacred or secular, should be about amplifying the voices of others. And in my experience at Salford this summer, also the voice of the Spirit. What I discovered was that the Spirit has a real voice too, through the voices in Scripture and in the voices of others, and in the silence and spaces of worship and prayer. We often try to mimic the Spirit's voice rather than just listening and being receptive to it, being moved by it, moving with it, like in a dance. I remember sitting around a table with congregants who carried with them chilling stories and realities of cancer and loss. We were brainstorming an evening song and prayer service for the purpose of coming together in a time of unusually high amounts of illness and loss in the congregation. One member referred to it as tending to the nervous system of the congregation, which I thought was really intimate. It was quite the rewarding and also heartbreaking dance to listen for the Spirit and the voices around me and in my open Bible on the table in front of me. It was a precious and sacred space. And I felt like the more I showed up each day I came in, the more I learned about God, the Spirit, and what God desires for us. And now I think in my studies, in my music, in my the stuff I do here, like that has really impacted me to be receptive and to be moved and to listen in that way. What MIP offered me, I think, was the space in the context to meet God in the Spirit. Each day, my office space became sacred space. That time that I didn't know what to do with all of a sudden became very precious and too few. I learned day by day to see God more clearly, to love God more dearly, and to follow God more nearly. Turn with me to number 569 in the blue hymnal. Let's sing this together to close my time. Let's sing the melody together once, and then we'll sing it again. Feel free to harmonize.
Thank you very much, Perry, Hannah, Alpha Omega Dancers, and Gospel Choir. So I promised that I'd clear up two possible lies about MIP. The first lie or misconception is that you need to be a Bible and religion major to do this program. That is false. We will talk to anybody in any major. And if you look at the last number of summers, you'll see we've had a variety of majors. The second lie or misconception is that you need to be a Mennonite. That is also false. We will work with you no matter your background and talk about, we just recently were gifted with an MIP endowment that enables us to talk about placements with folks other than Mennonite. So if you are interested, now is the season to register your interest. There's an online application. If you go to the Bible and Religion page, there's a drop-down box for MIP and then a box for an application. And the first five applicants of this year, I'm giving Klein's cards, so don't hesitate. Go online, fill out an application. Also, Hannah and Perry and I will be up front if you have questions, and on your way out at both doors is someone with a brochure if you want to take one with you to Florida. It will speak to you over Christmas break.